and that kingdom has already come to an end in the realm where the Most High dwells and where there is no time. What he's doing is causing you to live inside of time, to give you time to make sure that you do make it into the kingdom and that you never repeat the sins of your forefathers and break the commandments, statutes, and laws, and desire to live a heathenistic, ungodly, unholy, unkodesh way of life. Now, the fact that you've been picked and brought into the knowledge is what you should walk out your front door with every day, despite any and every obstacle that's going to come your way. Because in your hands possesses the tools to your own personal victory, your own joy, your own sense of overcoming, your own sense of serenity and peace. All of these things exist when you come into the understanding that I am a child of the King. Long live the King. I'm a child of the Most High. So check yourself this morning and make sure that your posturing is not a posture of, here I go again. Oh, it's Wednesday. Just two more days to go into the Shabbat, the Sabbath. No, this is a day that the Most High has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. I will take advantage, that old Latin phrase, carpe diem. I will seize the moment and take advantage of everything the Most High brings my way that he wants me to act upon, because truly he has positioned me in the earth for such a time as this. And I'm here to be a light to the world and salt unto the earth and maximize my potential so that when I do stand before my Father, my Holy Abba, he's going to say well done about how I handled these scripts and how I handled this business down here on this earth and how I overcame troubles and principalities, how I understood that he was with me and that he never left me and he would never leave me or forsake me. How I praised him and worshiped him in the midst of the battle. See, check your attitude. So when I play optimistic, it's to get you to remember that you're a child of the King. You are not a Hebrew by religion, but by blood. This is our culture. This is what we do. We keep these commandments. We remain resilient. And we give the Most High all the praise that he's due. Nothing externally can defeat us. Might hit me for a second, but give me a second to pray, praise, to worship, and to put in motion everything I understand about these scripts. Let's talk to the Father. Holy Abba, we love you. We thank you for hump day because you're the one that always brings us over and you bring us through. We thank you for every trial that comes to make us strong. For if it don't kill us, that's all it can do is make us strong. And I thank you for the strengthened Hebrews, my people that love you, my people that are called by your name, my people that are in this life of striving to please you. Give them a blessing. Give them encouragement. Strengthen them. Bless their bodies and heal their bodies, heal their minds, their souls, their spirits. Let them know that you're not far from them. But as far as the enemy and temptation, cast it far from them. Cause my brothers and sisters to know that you always make a way of escape. May they look for it, not stay in that hellish hallway, but look for that way of escape out of that trapdoor situation. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do and what you've done. And we ask these blessings in the name of my dear brother, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. All praises be due. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, we got a good little inspirational moment for you today, and we're going to have Brother D is going to come on. Just want to wrap with the brother and talk to him. That's my good brother. We had a chance to meet actually through the Hebrew One show. And I was blessed with the opportunity to be a part of his baptism about over a month, probably 2 months now. I, Brother Tony, and some other brothers out here. And there's a lot more other people out there that we've met through various radio shows, Facebook, Hebrew One Show. I like the Hebrew One Show because they have over 800,000 listeners, and there's a lot of you all in Northern California and in the Bay Area. Hey, we're just trying to link up and connect because we don't need each other. Not trying to start no camps. We just fellowshipping and encouraging and exhorting one another. Let me read a little bit of an imprecatory prayer, Brother David, then we're going to move forward. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for your support in listening to these lessons. Download them. Freely we receive, freely we give. Let somebody else hear this message about these commandments and keeping them and encouraging. Last night, Sister Tamar did a wonderful show. It's a wonderful show because it's called The Heart of a Hebrew Woman. It's for women. For women who are ministering in their homes, taking care of their homes, still trying to go out and work and contribute to the home and raise kids in this crazy hour. And the topic last night was, you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. No, that's a good lesson. Ooh, I hope it found her first. That's a good lesson for the sisters, you know, and for the brothers too. You know, we don't have to speak everything that comes to mind, but I can see that you all have been chiming in, tuning in, and let's keep fellowshipping. You can even contact me if you have announcements, if you're up here in Northern California, so we can stick together in fellowship. We're hoping to get together again, most high willing, in June down in the Monterey Seaside area with Brother Ray, who's kicking off a fellowship down there on the 17th. So reach out to us here in Blog Talk or come to Facebook, be the preacher, space Tamar Torah, where I share a page with my wife. You can hit us up on Messenger there. And let's just reach out, you know. Let's pray with each other, encourage each other, be a financial blessing to each other, you know. Lay eyes on each other. That's what it's all about. We're going to continue with the 12 patriarchs, but I just want to encourage you, as always, with the imprecatory prayers, which is the type of prayers that David prayed. And the prayers he prayed was, handle my enemies. Not only we turn the other cheek and we pray that the Lord would just save them and forgive them. No, that's what these folks within religion do, and not understanding how they're supposed to pray and what the Most High really wants us to do for our true enemies that don't want to see you come back into the place of what's the word I'm trying to say? Place of prominence. That is due us and owed us after all the years of suffering that we've gone to. We're at the end of 400 years, people, and we're definitely on the rule of Jacob. So listen to David out of Psalms, the 59th chapter, and he was talking about, I'm going to skip, he said, deliver me from mine enemies, Most High, and defend me from them that rise up against me. That was the first verse. Then he goes on to say what they're doing to him. And how they're against Israel and how they return at evenings like dogs to chase him around. But I want to skip down to verse 10 and read from there. He says, the Yah of my mercy shall prevent me. Yah shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. He's saying don't even run them off and scatter them. Just handle that business right in front of everybody so they can see how you are taking care of business on my behalf. Verse 12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. He said, hail them for cussing at me and their pride and how arrogant they are towards me. I want you to remember this, even as we see these hate crimes against our people. Verse 13, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that the Most High ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. That's right, bring desolation, starvation, illness, sickness upon them as you did the Philistines, as you did Egypt, as you did all of these captivities. Handle that business. 16, David said, but I will sing of your power. Yea, I will sing out loud. That's a key right there. Some of y'all shame to praise the Most High. On the Shabbat, some of y'all just pop popcorn, say the Lord's Prayer, and watch TV. You don't even get your praise on. I know one brother down in Seaside turned the music up, get the food going, put on his holy garments and fringes, and he'll dance for an hour or two, beat his drums, invite his family over, and they worship and celebrate the whole day, the whole night. And that's how you're supposed to handle that business. Don't you know the Most High looks down and smiles at that behavior? Yes, sir. I will sing out loud of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for the Most High is my defense and the power of my mercy. He is the God of my mercy. Turn on your music when you wake up. Sometimes my wife be thinking it's too loud. She don't know why. I'm a musician. Music is in me like David. I got to hear it because he said, come before my presence with singing. Let it stir you up. Sing unto the Most High and worship and praise so that you can get your countenance ready and tell him, go deal with these folks I got to deal with today. Pull the covers off of them. Apocalypto. Unveil who I'm dealing with. And once you show me who I'm dealing with, destroy it. Because I'm your child. All praises to the Most High. All praises to the Most High. So that's our imprecatory prayer for the day. Before we go through the reading of the book of Levi, I want to say shalom and welcome my brother to the broadcast. Shalom, Brother D.
Shalom, Brother Ray. I'm sorry, Brother D. I'm thinking of Brother Ray because you just mentioned him about Levi.
Yeah, Brother Ray on your mind.
Okay, well, shalom, Brother Ray. Yeah, shoot, I'm getting on here, but yeah, I don't wax as eloquently as you, Brother V, but like I said, I can put in some things here. I guess you got tired of me texting from the sidelines whenever you're giving a talk.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know. What? Yeah, for those of you who don't know, this is the brother that texts us all during the lessons on the Sabbath.
So, Brother V, I got to tell you, you know what? You better call in here. Yeah, but I was listening to you talk about, David, and you go back to Genesis, was that 3, and was it 12 and 3, where God tells Abraham, you know, we curse those that curse us. Bless those that bless us. And there's a lot of power in that. We need to know that. You know, people out there cursing, you know, out there, you know, you can go to Yah, hey, handle them. Just like it's like David did. Go there and handle them. You know, but
that's right.
But like I said, it's a blessed day, and I'm happy to talk to you this morning, Sister Tamar around too.
I believe she's listening. She's listening, but she's on the plantation
right now.
But she is listening.
She's on the plantation. Let's say shalom to her too. She's on the plantation. Yeah,
that's right.
But like I said, it's good to be on with you this morning. And like I said, I'll chime in where I can chime in.
Yes, sir. Listen, I told Brother D it's time for him to come on board now, and because you know, we're firm believers that we can't take the back seat. Once we have affirmed our relationship with the Most High, start keeping these commandments, and we get baptized, we become a part of the order of Melchizedek, and we begin to move into that priesthood. So he thought we were going to let him sit in the bleachers and just rest, but no, he got to get ready to do a work. I was telling the people about the baptism, and you know, I had Brother Ray. He was telling me, boy, Brother D getting pretty sharp with these precepts, and you know, and I've seen a change in you too, but why don't you just testify to the people like how you, well, before we met and how you feel since, you know, you've been baptized and where you are with your walk. Just go ahead.
Okay, you know, when I, it's funny that, you know, the Most High weighed on me a long time because, like I said, I'm 62 now. I'm 62 and, last year, about March or so. You know, it's funny, after I retired, you know, I came upon the truth. You know, because my plan was, you know, I'm retired, wine, women, and song. then the Most High touched me, and then, so that was, there's a different plan now, and that is just to worship Him. But like I said, finding out, you know, who we are, it really gets you, and you know, just a whole difference comes over you because, you know, we grew up not knowing. where we come from, who we are. And it makes a great difference when people find out. And it's just a surprise that there's so many of our people that, you know, won't accept this truth. You know, I mean the indoctrination was so deep that, you know, they won't accept this truth and they can't believe it. And I'm looking, you know, at a lot of these heathens, different people are writing in, and they still try to push those lies about who the real Israelites are, and they still try and push those. I mean, you know, even outside of when you look at all of the that, you know, that says who we are, all the eyewitness accounts that they've had from Herodotus and all different types of people who were back during that time and after that time, and they could testify that the Hebrews were black. You know, but it's just that this lie is so intense that, you know, it's hard to get people to get by that. But, you know, like I said, that really blessed me when I found out who I am, who we are. It really did bless me. And since since baptism and trying to get into the Word and learn as much as I can. It's quite a bit to learn. You know, like I said, all those books, you know, I'm rereading and rereading them over, because when you do, you run upon something that you didn't notice the last time. But there's a lot in that word. There's a lot in that word. And, you know, as long as we, you know, be diligent, try and learn as best we can. Like I said, the Most High will be with us.
So, I mean, it's a blessing that even at 62, that's a testimony. Not that you're old, you're still a young man, but they just say once we get even past my age, we get set in our ways and you can't teach us nothing new.
and I can testify on that, because there are some things that I've been set in my ways on. But like I said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. All you have to do is try.
Right, because even in this hour, sometimes when I talk to my parents and things like that, we realize that, oh, okay, they just going to hold on to the old Christian way. We can't change them or talk to them. So I have to take a back seat and respect my elders and not try to force it. Because I know when I first came into the truth, I was like, oh, we ain't supposed to be saying that. And that's not the name and all that. But, you know, with time, wisdom tells us that if it's his will, he will reveal certain things to him, you know. And so it's always a blessing when our elders, which, and I mean by folks that have lived a while, and in Israel, my Hebrews need to respect that. Because one thing I can say about Brother D, my observation is the reason he excels in the Word is because he's got common sense and practicality from his years on the earth that most of these young people in their 20s that don't have, or 30s.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, when I was young or whatnot, the thing that stuck with me, as far as elders were concerned, it says, honor thy mother and father, your days on this earth be lengthened, you know, that's one of the commandments. And I've always felt, even when I was, you know, even when I wasn't in the truth, even when I wasn't trying to connect with Yah, I still always felt that I would live a long time because of that commandment, because I made it a point to honor my mother and father. And even though I wasn't in the truth, you know, Yah is with you. It's funny when you look back at things, there are times you were wondering, how the heck did I get out of that? Well, he was with you even when you weren't listening to him. Because he put his hand on your shoulder and he's chosen you. And so he's waiting for you to come around. He's long suffering and patient, because, you know, when you look at how many times our people turn their back on him, going run after other idols, you say, you know, Yah is so merciful, because most of us would have said, okay, forget you people, I'm moving on. But they did that so many times. Like I was mentioning when reading the Word, and there's just so many times. I said 2/3 of the book is Yah chastising and trying to plead for his people to come back to him and turn away from these idols. You'd just be surprised how much that comes up in there.
That's right. That's right. Now, I think you talk about the way you're raised with morals and principles and common courtesy.
you know, the Most High will extend his favor upon that, which is one of the reasons I firmly believe that, you know, he'll wake you up in your latter years to come into the knowledge of the truth as a blessing to how you've been with your parents, how you treated them, and how,
yeah.
and how you treated other folks in life. And unfortunately, our young people today, they have no idea of what I'm even talking about.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
and the other thing, it's just, you know, it's just the same. You know, we're probably the last generation that's come out with two parents in the household, because when I grew up,
yeah.
that was a staple. But after they start getting drugs in the community and all this other stuff, you know, and then we're getting more like we were, you know, getting with the heathens, doing what they're doing, and then next thing you know, the family just destroyed. But like I said, when I grew up, two-parent household was a staple.
Exactly, exactly. And we know that society has destroyed that, especially with black race, which are my Hebrews, my brothers and sisters in this captivity throughout this diaspora. That was one of the goals of Hashatan through government and politics and policies, was destroying two-parent household. And
Exactly.
So, you know, choirs is kept. All our folks getting upset because they're getting ready to take away welfare and welfare programs. Well, maybe y'all stop kicking the man out the house so quick, and y'all go on and get things right, keep that man in that house, and let a breadwinner and both of y'all work and take care of those kids and become autonomous the way the Father designed for us to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, they pointed that toward us, you know, toward Hebrews, because they figure, you know, we're the ones on welfare, but the majority of the welfare money is going to the heathens. You know, so
right.
a lot of them, they're going to be crying and making noise because they're not getting their little stipend. So while they're trying to get to us, they're going to be getting their own.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, we've gone past your first Passover celebration and the, let's see, we did the first fruits privately in our home. And what is that like, keeping these holy days now since you've been baptized?
Well, keeping the holy days, like I said, it's great finding out the holy days and what we're supposed to be doing. Because I guess I'm getting ready to hit the cycle here, because once I get back, the first thing I ever did was observe the Day of Atonement. And so as we'll be coming back on that, it'll be my first year. Because, you know, especially when the holidays got around, you're trying to tell people, you know, I'm not doing those, I'm not doing that. And you know, you get a little pushback. You say, oh, yeah, we always did that. We're just celebrating here. Yeah, but you got to realize what you're celebrating. And so that was just
right.
kind of a little, you know, going through the holidays and trying to let people know that you weren't, you know, you're not with that anymore. You're following, you know, you're doing the Yah's days. And so it's funny, a lot of the family, they will get with that when you start talking about, especially if you go do some cooking or something, they're all down for the food. So you're not, you know,
there's some lamb on the grill, they come out the woodwork.
Exactly, exactly. So any way you can get them to come around, at least listen, because, you know, our thing is to drop those seeds. And that's pretty much what we do. But like I said, I'm coming upon the year of observing these holidays. And that's why I'm glad, Brother V, I got hooked up with you and Brother Ray to help me along with that. Because as I'm doing it, especially when we got to the Passover and everything, because so many people doing things at different times and whatnot, and you know, it was good to have you guys there to help me through that.
Right.
And so, but like I said, you know, living for Yah is just great. And like I said, it just feels so good not having to worry about them holidays. You see people out there, they're running out here and there. I got to get this person, this person, that person. I don't deal with that no more. And so
you finally got the honey baked ham out your freezer. You got rid of that. Come on.
Yep. None of that. And that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing is, you know, because y'all never meant for us to eat swine, and it wasn't really hard for me to put that away. Actually, especially as I just stopped eating it, and then read a little bit about it. And a lot of people don't read about that. That, you know, they were put on this earth as scavengers. They clean up the stuff that nobody else wants. And then no sweat glands. And then next thing you know, the toxins that are in their bodies stay with them, and then parasites and everything else. And you don't really think about that while you're gobbling that crap out. But
that's right.
You know, like I said, I didn't have a hard time with that. I actually didn't even have a hard time with giving up the shellfish. I did love the shellfish, but I had no problem giving that up also once you realize what y'all put them on earth for. Like I say, people say with shrimp, people don't realize that that's kind of like the cockroach of the sea. I mean, that's what they are.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, y'all was with me, you know, giving all that stuff up, because I really have to say I did not have a hard time giving that stuff up. I really didn't, you know, so.
All praises to the Most High. All praises.
All praises.
Well, you know, you are in retirement, so what about that wine, women, and song? You gave all three of them up? I mean, what you doing? You can't let that go.
I still have some wine here and there. I do. I mean, matter of fact, I have, you know, that's what I do since I retired. You know, I get a glass of wine, dark. I haven't given that up, but no fornication, nothing like that. Although, like I said, that was all part of the plan. But, you know,
brother, you ain't dead, so let me say something to all my Hebrew sisters out there looking. Call in.
Yeah, I heard that. Speaking of that, I heard somebody on the Hebrew Wine Show from Santa Clara. We're gonna have to call back up there and you know, spread the word about us up here again, so we can start hooking up again. Because, you know, we truly are.
You know what? I heard that same sister, and I reached out to her and told her to contact my wife when I heard it. I know exactly what you heard. That was
great. Yeah,
Sister Providence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She was on Brother Jacob's show, the Monday show. She lives in Santa Clara, I reached out to her, and I'm gonna have my wife go back on the Hebrew One show, because there's quite a few people, as I said in the beginning of the show, here in Northern California. So if you get a chance to go on there, and I'll have Sister Tamar go back on there, we're just reaching out to the folks up here in Northern California.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, like I said, it's good to, for us to gather. I mean, we gathered last Shabbat at your place, and it was just such a blessing. Being with other Hebrews on the Sabbath, talking about the Word, you know, sharing, breaking bread. It's just wonderful to do that. And so, I said, we just, you know, us Hebrews up in this area, we need to start getting together, because, you know, we're not going to them churches anymore. And so we need to get together to encourage each other. I mean, it gives us strength.
That's right. So for those of you coming out of the churches that missed the fellowship, you can get with us. And, you know, I'll say this. I'm not condemning those churches, but a lot of them are preaching lies and don't want to go into truth. We got a couple of churches in Louisiana and North Carolina and Chicago that have switched over to teaching the truth and have kept all their people. So we've got to reach our people, and we don't know what the Most High is going to do in this final hour. Some people, I know a lot of pastors that are waking up, and they call me on the sly, on the under. They hit me up on Messenger and ask me questions. You know, so we got to be available. Let's not look at them as outcasts. Those are still Hebrews.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'll probably even go back and preach on Sundays and do things like that to reach them, but it's not going to stop me from keeping the commandments, standing on what I believe, and keeping the Sabbath on the Saturday. Friday, Sunday. So we will stay on these principles, these commandments, so that we can incur the blessings of Revelations 22 and 14. Blessed are they that keep these commandments.
Hallelujah.
All right. Anything you want to say to encourage the people out there, Brother D? Go ahead and say a word of encouragement.
All I'd say is that, you know, you turn to the Most High. And I had to find out myself. A lot of times you worry about this and worry about that, but you just get on your knees, you pray, and give it to the Most High. The Most High knows what you want. So you follow those commandments and you walk in His way, and He's going to give you what you need. I mean, because He loves us. I mean, that's why He chose us. So, well, you know, we just walk in His ways, and He'll give us what we need.
Good words. Good word, Doc. We're going to have to start a fellowship right there where you are, right there. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, so you going to listen in or you got to run? We get ready to go to the Testament of Levi. You going to stick around?
I'll hang on. If I can chime in on anything, I will.
Okay, sounds good. All right. We've been doing a reading of the Testament of the 12 patriarchs from the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha, and you'll find that these are the sons of Jacob, which is Jacob. And these 12 sons are the patriarchs and the forefathers of the 12 tribes that this world wants to tell you have been done away with, and they're lost. No, they're not lost. 12 tribes are found. They are our people, and that's who we're waking up. And we're scattered throughout this diaspora. The history has been, we've been lied to in history about the truth, about who our people are. But He's going to gather us from the four corners of the earth. And I think that this book is so powerful because it was a message from the patriarchs to those particular individual tribes, but not just for that tribe, but to pass on information throughout all the tribes so that we could better even understand each other and what we go through, because the fathers were able to prophesy to the children as to what they were going to have to deal with, what was going to come upon them, and what they were going to inherit. So we've gone through Reuben, we've gone through Simeon, and today we're going to read the Testament of Levi, who's the third son of Jacob and Leah. So starting at the first chapter, it says, "The copy of the words of Levi, the things which he ordained unto his sons, according to all that they should do, and what things should befall them until the day of judgment. He was sound in health when he called them to him, for it had been revealed to him that he was getting ready to die. Even though he was sound in health, the Most High revealed to him that your time is about to be up. And when they were gathered together, he said to them, I, Levi, was born in Haran, and I came with my father to Shechem, and I was young, about 20 years of age, when with Simeon I wrote vengeance on Hamor for our sister Dinah. And when I was feeding the flocks in Abel Maal, the spirit of understanding of the Most High came upon me, and I saw all men corrupting their way, and that unrighteousness had built for itself walls, and lawlessness sat upon tower. And I was grieving for the race of the sons of men, and I prayed to the Lord that I might be saved, to Yah that I might be saved. Then there fell upon me sleep, and I beheld a high mountain, and I was upon it, and behold, the heavens were opened, and an angel of the Most High said to me, Levi, enter. And I entered from the first heaven, and I saw there a great sea hanging. And further I saw a second heaven far brighter and more brilliant, for there was a boundless light also therein." When you start talking about these different levels of heaven, you'll find that Enoch speaks of this, and even Apostle Shaul, Paul, speaks of this when he said, I was taken into the third heavens. And Apostle Paul would even go so much as to tell you that to keep me humble when I had to come back. And if you read the Testament of Paul, he met so many people that told him when he goes back to earth, he was going to do a great work. But when he came back, the Most High had to put a thorn in his side, an infirmity, to keep him humble because he was allowed to go and to see so many things that most men haven't seen. And the other thing we want to remember about the book of Levi, this is the beginning of the Levitical priesthood, because Levi was the patriarch for the Levitical priesthood. All of the tribe of Levi were priests. We're now under the order of Melchizedek, and it's not just the Levitical priesthood. So he went on to say in chapter 3, verse 9, and I said to the angel, why is this so? And the angel said to me, marvel not at this, for thou shalt see another heaven more brilliant and incomparable. And when thou hast ascended thither, thou shalt stand near Yah and shall be his minister, and shall declare his mysteries to men, and shall proclaim concerning him that shall redeem Israel. They were telling him about the Messiah right there. Verse 11, and by thee and Yehuda shall Yah appear among men, saving every race of men. So he was saying that through the Levitical priesthood and through the seed and tribe of Judah shall the Most High appear to bring salvation unto every race of men. Verse 12, and leading into chapter 3, I hear therefore regarding the heavens which have been shown to thee. The Lord is for this cause gloomy unto thee, in that it beholds all the unrighteous deeds of men. And it has fire, snow, and ice made ready for the day of judgment, in the righteous judgment of Yah. For in it are all the spirits of the retributions of for vengeance on men. And in the second are the host of the armies which are ordained for the day of judgment, to work vengeance on the spirits of deceit and of Belial. And above them are the holy ones. And in the highest of all dwelleth the great glory, far above all holiness. In the heaven next to it are the archangels, who minister and make propitiation to the Most High for all the sins of the ignorance of the righteous. That's deep right there. There are archangels interceding on behalf of the righteous who are still ignorant. That means that there's information and knowledge you don't have, because he will blink on your ignorance. But once you've been brought into the knowledge of truth in a certain area, to whom much is given, much is required. There are people that have been called before the foundations of the earth and before being placed in their mother's womb, but they haven't come into the fullness of time. And we have angels that are interceding on their behalf until they grow into the fullness of the understanding. We call it here, when did you wake up, brother? But it was ordained before time. Let me keep reading this. Offering to the Most High a sweet-smelling savior, a reasonable and bluntless offering. And in the heaven below this are the angels who bear answers to the angels of the presence of the Most High. And in the heaven next to this are thrones and dominions, in which always they offer praise to Yah. When therefore the Most High looketh upon us, all of us are shaken. Yea, the heavens and the earth and the abysses are shaken at the presence of his majesty. But the sons of men, having no perception of these things, sin and provoke the Most High. These angels are telling Levi that us up here and the heavens and the earth and even the abyss shake at his glory and majesty. But us in our ignorance on this earth constantly fall into our own selfish sins to appease our flesh, and we constantly provoke the Most High by doing so, because he's like, they have no knowledge of what and who they're dealing with. That is a lesson, brothers and sisters, to understand. Don't negate, cheapen, or lower what you can't see in the Most High. This is a walk of faith, and you must know that we're serving a mighty and awesome, awesome power in Hayah. Chapter 4, I now therefore know that the Most High shall execute judgment upon the sons of men, because when the rocks are being rent and the sun quenched and the waters dried up and the fire cowering and all creations troubled and the invisible spirits melting away and Hades taketh spoils through the visitations of the Most High, men will be unbelieving and persist in their iniquity. On this account, with punishment shall they be judged. Therefore, the Most High hath heard thy prayer to separate thee from iniquity, and that thou shouldest become to him a son and a servant and a minister of his presence. The light of knowledge shall thou light up in Jacob, and as the sun shall thou be to all the seed of Israel. And there shall be given to thee a blessing and to all thy seed until the Most High shall visit all the Gentiles in his tender mercies forever. And therefore there have been given to thee counsel and understanding that thou mightest instruct thy sons concerning this, because they that bless him shall be blessed, and they that cursed him shall be perish. Now, he was talking to Levi, his job and his role to his brothers and his brothers' tribes and going forward as being a part of the Levitical priesthood. And he said that they would function in this capacity until the Most High visits all the Gentiles in his tender mercies forever. Why is that? Because since our Messiah has ascended back up into the heavens, we are now back up under the order of Melchizedek within the priesthood. And we are operating within that. So we no longer just rely upon having the Levitical priest to go in, make prayers for us, atonements for us, and to be the only one that can get next to the Father. We all now have a right to boldly approach the throne. The veil of the temple has been ripped. Chapter 5. And thereupon the angel opened to me the gates of heaven, and I saw the holy temple, and upon a throne of glory, the Most High. And he said to me, Levi, I have given thee the blessings of the three priesthood until I come and sojourn in the midst of Israel. Then the angel brought me down to earth and gave me a shield and a sword and said to me, execute vengeance on Shechem because of Dinah thy sister, and I will be with thee because the Most High hath sent me. And I destroyed at the time of the sons of Hamor, as it is written in the heavenly tables. And so what he's saying is that the angel told him to go back and take care of the sons of Hamor for what they did to your sister. And he already saw that it was done in the heavenly tables where he was. So he went back to handle the business of what was already written on the tablets. That's amazing. Verse 6. And I said to him, I pray thee, O Yah, tell me thy name that I may call upon thee in the day of tribulation. And he said, he's talking to the angel. I am the angel who intercedeth for the nation of Israel, that they may not be smitten utterly, for every evil spirit attacketh it. And after these things I awaked. He awoke from his vision and blessed the Most High. And the angel who interceded for the nation of Israel and for all the righteous, the one that took Levi around throughout the different levels of heaven, was the same angel that intercedes on behalf of the nation of Israel. But what I want you to hear is what the angel said to him. Now, this is this angel's only job, is to intercede for us so that all of us aren't destroyed, because the whole earth, these nations, as Psalms 83 tells us, are confederate against us, and these policies and politics are to destroy the nation of Israel off the face of the earth. And he's interceding on our behalf for that. But what he said after he told Levi he's interceding, he said, for every evil spirit attacketh it. Do you hear that? He said, because every evil spirit attacks Israel. Nothing to play around with, folks. Chapter 6. And when I was going to my father, I found a brazen shield, wherefore also the name of the mountain is Aspis, which is near Gabal, to the south of Abila, and I kept these words in my heart. And after this, I counseled my father and Reuben, my brother, to bid the sons of Hamor not to be circumcised, for I was zealous because of the abomination which they had wrought on my sister. And I slew Shechem first, and Simeon slew Hamor. And after this, my brothers came and smote that city with the edge of the sword. And my father heard these things, and he was wroth, and he was grieved in that they had received the circumcision
and after that had been put to death. And in this blessings he looked amiss upon us, for we sinned because we had done this thing against his will, and he was sick that day. But I saw the sentence of the Most High was for evil upon Shechem, for they sought to do to Sarah and Rebekah as they had done to Dinah. So he's saying he already had been to the heavens and saw that they had done evil, and he got permission from the heavens to slay these people because they were going to go past Dinah, his sister, and come and rape Sarah and Rebekah, Jacob's wives. So Jacob was upset because they had circumcised them, and then they killed them. But Jacob didn't quite understand even the what the Most High had put on the sons for them to take care of, to keep the nation of Israel strong. So, and they he said they were going to do it to Sarah, Rebekah, as they had done to Dinah, our sister, but the Most High prevented them. And they persecuted Abraham, our father, when he was a stranger, and they vexed his flocks, talking about these Hamites, when they were big with young. And Eblian, who was born in his house, they most shamefully handled. And thus they did to all strangers, taking away their wives by force, and they banished them. But the wrath of the Most High came upon them to the uttermost. So they were just putting a stop to what these Canaanites had been doing for years, taking folks' daughters and wives and raping them. So Levi went to his father. He said to my father Jacob, by thee will the Most High despoil the Canaanites, and I will give their land to thee and thy seed after thee. For from this day forth shall Shechem be called a city of imbeciles. For as a man mocketh a fool, so did we mock them, because also they had wrought folly in Israel by defiling my sister, raping her. And we departed and came to Bethel. We weren't there when they did it. So they're going to just try to take advantage of Israel. Let's handle this business. Verse chapter 8, and there again I saw a vision as the former after we had spent there 70 days, and I saw seven men in white raiment saying unto me, arise, put on the robe of the priesthood, and the crown of righteousness, and the breastplate of understanding, and the garment of truth, and the plate of faith, and the turban of the head, and the ephod of prophecy. And they severally carried these things and put them on me and said unto me, from henceforth become a priest of the Most High, thou and thy seed forever. And the first anointed me with holy oil and gave to me the staff of judgment. The second washed me with pure water and fed me with bread and wine, even the most holy things, and clad me with a holy and glorious robe. The third clothed me with a linen vestment like an ephod. The fourth put around me a girdle like unto purple, gave me a branch of rich olive. The sixth placed a crown on my head. The seventh placed on my head a diadem of priesthood and filled my hands with incense, that I might serve as a priest to the Most High Yah. And they said to me, Levi, thy seed shall be divided into three offices for a sign of the glory of the Most High who is to come. And the first portion shall be great, yea, greater than it shall none be. Second shall be in the priesthood, and the third shall be called by a new name, because a king shall rise in Judah and shall establish a new priesthood, all praises, and the fashion of the Gentiles to all the Gentiles. And his presence is beloved as a prophet of the Most High, of the seed of Abraham our father. Therefore, every desirable thing in Israel shall be for thee and for thy seed, and ye shall eat everything fair to look upon. And the table of the Most High shall be thy seed a portion. And some of them shall be high priests and judges and scribes. For by their mouth shall the holy be guarded. And when I awoke, I understood this dream. And it was like the first dream. And I hid this in my heart and told no man upon earth. And after 2 days, I and Judah went up with our father Jacob to Isaac, our father's father. And my father's father blessed me according to all the words of the visions which I had seen. And he would not come with us to Bethel. And when we came to Bethel, my father saw a vision concerning me that I should be their priest unto the Most High. And he rose up early in the morning and paid tithes of all to the Most High through me. And so we came to Hebron to dwell there. And Isaac called me continually to put me in to put me in remembrance of the law of the Lord, even as the angel of the Lord showed unto me. And he taught me the law of the priesthood, sacrifices, burnt offerings, first fruits, free will offerings, peace offerings. And each day he was instructing me and was busy on my behalf for the Most High and said to me, beware of this, for this shall continue and shall by thy seed pollute the holy place. He was prophesying to him what his kids were going to do. Watch out for fornication. He saw in the spirit that his kids were going to fall to this. Take therefore to thyself a wife without blemish or pollution, while yet thou art young, and not of the race of strange nations. And before entering into the holy place, bathe, and when thou offerest the sacrifices, wash again. And when thou finish the sacrifice, wash of 12 trees having leaves. Offer to the Lord as Abraham taught me also, and every clean beast and bird offer a sacrifice to the Most High. And of all the first fruits of wine, offer the first as a sacrifice to the Most High. Now, therefore, observe whatsoever I command you, children, for whatsoever things I have heard from my fathers I have declared unto you. And behold, I am clear from your ungodliness and transgression, which ye shall commit in the end of ages against the Savior of the world, acting godlessly, deceiving Israel. He's prophesying of the things that were going to befall the Levitical priesthood and stirring up against the great evils from the Most High. And ye shall deal lawlessly together with Israel. So he shall not bear with Jerusalem because of your wickedness, but the veil of the temple shall be rent, so as not to cover your shame, and ye shall be scattered as captives among the Gentiles. Way back then, he was prophesying to them what would be the state of us, our people. And we have people of Israel that are of that Levitical. Some people say it's those in Haiti, but we don't know. For the house which the Most High shall choose shall be called Jerusalem, as is contained in the book of Enoch the righteous. I have actually 9 more chapters in the book of Levi, so I'm going to stop right there because I'm coming to the end of the hour. So I'm going to pick this up, the Most High willing, next week, and we will finish the book of Levi out of the 12 patriarchs and the things that he ministered to his sons, which was the Levitical priest of Israel. So all praises to the Most High. I want to thank you, Brother D, for being with us today.
You're welcome. Shalom. You're welcome.
Shalom. And to the brothers and sisters, I want you to stay encouraged. And like I said, we'll try and pick this up. This is some good reading. You get some spare time, go ahead and read that, the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. And most of all, be encouraged. I don't care what day it is. It might be the middle of the week because you're waiting on the Sabbath, but this is a good day. This is a day the Most High has made. So be strong in the Most High and the power of his might. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. I say shalom, peace, and blessings.
Keep your head
to the sky.